Doug Tyrrell, History and Comment is available on iTunes.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Tuesday, the 23rd day of January, 2024. Blaise Pascal was one of those really smart people who demonstrated expertise in science and philosophy. On this day in 1656, he publishes the first of 18 or 19 letters known as the Provincial Letters. They deal with two competing philosophies within the Catholic Church. Essentially, he was pointing out that the opposing groups were using complex religious arguments to allow moral laziness and then justifying it. This is a quite common issue within religion. There are things about the spiritual world, God and his nature, at the top of the list that we do not have the knowledge to fully explain. We should accept there is a black box region that is beyond our knowledge. But we often retreat into complex theories and syntax that more often than not is of little help and often a hindrance to the gospel. It seems the issue that Pascal was debating was not far from the point the Apostle Paul was addressing in the passage on grace, where he asked the absurd question, should we sin more so that grace would abound? Apparently, some were promoting exactly that idea, and it was within the formal church. High up in the Alps between Switzerland and Austria lies one of the smallest countries in the world, Liechtenstein. It has a long history and for centuries was working towards answering directly to the Holy Roman Empire. In 1719, it's formally recognized as an independent state, all 69 square miles. Elizabeth Blackwell is the first woman in the United States to be awarded a medical doctorate degree. The year is 1849. Blackwell had been turned down or simply ignored by 29 medical schools. 2 years earlier, she had applied to the Geneva Medical School in upstate New York. It seems that no one on the admissions board wanted to speak out against admitting her and put it to a vote of the student body. Not sure if it was a prank or not, the 150 male students voted in the affirmative. Blackwell graduated at the top of her class. It would be convenient if we could go back to the late 19th century and have all of the facts concerning the Indian Wars to understand the motivation of both sides. There are a few points that we need to understand completely. There were wars, battles, imperialism, and just plain politics on the North American continent well before 1492. These human failures are not unique to Europeans. For the past 5 centuries, there has been an amalgam between two cultures, one more primitive and the other more developed, certainly in terms of weaponry. The long-term outcome should never have been in question. Unfortunately, no one explained the simple fact of warfare to the Native Americans. The only reason beyond divine providence that the colonies won over Britain was that England was on the other side of the world in the days of sailing ships. Now, there certainly are some cases where the Indians did have a grasp of the inevitable, and in fact were trying to work out the details that would have allowed them to live alongside the Europeans. The southeastern tribes, including the Cherokee, were at the forefront of this ideal, but there were some powers in Washington that wanted nothing of that plan. President Jackson was one. There certainly were uncivilized attacks in both directions, so it would be difficult to malign either side and praise the opponent. On this day in 1870, it's the U.S. cavalry on the warpath, creating the massacre. With the advent of radio, Morse code could now be sent long distances and did not require a wire. Keep in mind that the first generation of transmitters could not transmit voice signals, but simply turned the transmitter on and off. Codes were in place for telegraphs to send thoughts with fewer keystrokes. This is common in any form of communication. An early one was the three letters CQD that was established in early 1904 and recognized transmission code for vessels requiring any type of assistance. On this day in 1909, it's used for the first time when the HMS Republic collides with the SS Florida off the coast of Massachusetts. The CQD standard was a product of the Marconi Company and never adopted as an international standard. In 1906, the idea of SOS was announced. While CQD was sent as three letters with a pause between each, SOS was not an acronym with some meaning like save our ships, souls, etc., but simply a string of 9 bursts. Morse code is a series of short and long transmitter bursts or clicks on a telegraph. Sometimes they are written as dots and dashes. S and O are the simplest letters in the alphabet. S is 3 dots and O is 3 dashes. SOS, therefore, is a fast string of 3 shorts, 3 longs, and 3 more shorts. At 9 bits, it's also the longest code. Here is the signal repeated 3 times. See if you can hear the difference in the lengths. The war on drugs has been an issue since maybe man first found some plants had drug effects. Certainly the use of additive drugs was an issue in the late 1800s. The patent medicines were at the same time purveyors and remedies. In 1909, a group of countries who were largely producers of opium poppies tried to make drugs unrestricted internationally. But there is pushback, and on this day in 1913, the International Opium Convention is signed by countries agreeing to work to resist the international trade. Aviator Charles Lindbergh's politics were either a bit cloudy or crystal clear and leaning towards Nazi sympathizer. The latter is the more likely. In 1941, with the war looming in Europe, the famous aviator uses his public platform to testify before Congress and personally recommend that the U.S. negotiate a neutrality pact with Hitler. This would have been a bad plan, as Hitler had not been slowed by any other pact he had signed and was determined to be a dominant world power at the edge of the sword. It is noble to try to avoid a fight, but as the axiom goes, if one cannot be avoided, fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp to the ark, and it's starting to rain. Certainly, ideas just fall in your lap. The idea of a throwing disc seems to have originated on the beaches of Santa Monica in the late 1930s. Frederick Morrison and his girlfriend were playing with a popcorn can lid. That dented too easily, and they found a cake pan flew much better, dented less, and was easier to replace. When they were offered 5 times the price they could be purchased for as cake pans, Morrison saw an opportunity. After a hiatus for World War II, the couple began to have them molded in plastic, calling them Pluto platters. Morrison sold his idea to the Wham-O Toy Company on this day in 1957, and they renamed it the Frisbee later in the year. The name Frisbee seems to have originated on Eastern college campuses. In the late 19th century and for the first half of the 20th, there was a serious push to restrict voting rights across the South. This was aimed largely at blacks, but also at the same time caught poor whites in the fray. Various forms of taxes were required in order to vote. In some cases, you could not vote if the previous taxes had not been paid, along with the current ones. In 1937, the Supreme Court allowed that poll taxes were constitutional. On this day in 1964, the 24th Amendment is ratified, prohibiting them in federal elections. The first class of inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are inducted on this day in 1986. As of last year, there are 376 members in the hall. Way back in the early days of the internet, Netscape was the major player. The wave of mergers and emergence of mega companies was still in the future. In 1998, Netscape announces Mozilla. The idea is to keep the source code open to the public. Mozilla Foundation continues to release and update a browser and a mail server. The mail server remains highly functional. Because Google has ad revenue, they have more horsepower to invest in their browser than the Mozilla offering. Sadly, money usually wins. 6 years ago, the Gulf of Alaska is rattled by a 7.9 earthquake. This is the 6th largest quake recorded in the United States. While California quakes get the most attention due to population, Alaska is the place where strong quakes happen. Of the top 35 strongest quakes in the United States, and we might be able to easily extend that to all of North America, 30 have happened in Alaska. 2018, President Trump places tariffs on some Chinese goods coming into America. Of course, the Chinese push back. I'm amazed that Americans cannot understand why there are not good jobs here. Folks, we do not want to pay for goods built by Americans. Part of this is foreign goods have far less labor cost. Part of the issue there is that story I shared yesterday about the factory workers on piecework. That story was from over 50 years ago. That's History and Comment for the 23rd day of January. I'm Doug Terrell. Now, go do something worth remembering.